Good morning. Thank you, Dan and Hope, and Andy and Rock. Let me go ahead and we'll release these little ones wherever they are. A hug with a sword. All right. Anybody else want a hug? Come on. You can't stop now. Come on. Let's do this. Good to see you. That's how we do it here. Awesome. All right, well, let me go ahead and invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 5, if you're grabbing a pew Bible, page, what is it going to be, 684. Words will be on this lovely screen behind me, so either way, I think we've got you covered. Today we're going to read verses 38 through down through 42, and I'm going to invite Cliff to come up, and he's going to read for us, and then I'll pray, and then we'll dive in. Matthew 5, verses 38 through 42.
You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you.
Let's pray. God, we do thank you for your Holy Spirit here with us just now. So God, as we step into your word now. As Tammy prayed, would you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that are turned? And as always, may you be in and over and under and all through my words, that I would truly speak your heart today. Amen. What are the roots that clutch? What branches grow out of this stony rubbish? Son of man, you cannot say or guess, for you know only a heap of broken images. Where the sun beats and the dead tree gives no shelter, the cricket no relief, and the dry stone no sound of water. Taken from T.S. Eliot's 1922 poem titled The Wasteland. These words, written in the aftermath of World War I, speak to the reality that is our human condition. Words that speak to the immensity of our brokenness and our despair, speak to the magnitude of our disorder and our dis-ease, right? Stony rubbish, broken images, no shelter, no relief, no sound of water. Right, reflecting as we've been considering over these last 2 months, reflecting that what is our reality, right? That life is hard and relationships are difficult. To use Paul's words, right, a reality that is filled with division and conflict, with dispute and disagreement, with disunity. Jesus himself speaks into this reality, speaking into the midst, again, of all of our diversity and differentness, speaking into the midst of all of our racial and ethnic antipathy and disdain, speaking into all of our socioeconomic inequality and disparity, speaking into the midst of our prejudice and our bias, into our intolerance and our injustice, Right? Again, speaking into all of the life is hard and relationships are difficult. And he says, 5 and 38, he says, you have heard that it was said. And so again, Jesus does as Jesus does. And here we go on a little bit of a time travel. He takes us back hundreds of years, generations before, back to Moses. We could say back to an earlier time with all of its diversity and differentness. Back to another time filled with all of the racial and ethnic antipathy and disdain, all of the socioeconomic inequality and disparity, all of that prejudice and bias, intolerance and injustice. And Jesus, he quotes the Torah saying, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Noting this phrase comes to us three times in the ancient Hebrew scriptures. We read this from the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. We get the first reading here in Exodus 21, and in verses 12 up really through 22, it's all about all the sorts of ways that we go sideways. It's about all the kinds of ways that maybe we are at odds with one another. Again, all the division and the conflict and the dispute and all of that disagreement. And then dropping down to verse 23, we read there, it says, but if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. In the same way, we read in Leviticus 24:19, anyone who injures their neighbor is to be injured in the same manner, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury. Deuteronomy 19:21, show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now today, this is what is called lex talionis. Maybe lex talionis would be another way, but you kind of have to do that. Lex talionis, right? It helps, believe me. Lex means law. Talionis means retaliation. And so this is a law of retaliation. It's a principle of retributive justice used by a judge in assessing a penalty. From the scholar William Barclay, he writes, in the very earliest days, the vendetta and the blood feud were characteristic of tribal society. If a man of one tribe injured a man of another tribe, then all at once, all the members of the tribe of the injured man were out to take vengeance, right? And we can think revenge and payback, retaliation, right? Not on the one man, but it says on all the members of the tribe of the man who committed the injury. And the vengeance desired was nothing less than death. And so within that reality, right, damages being assessed by a judge within the legal system, these damages were assessed by a monetary value. There were five sort of distinctions or classes for that. There was injury and then pain. There was medical, as in medical bills or debt. There's loss of livelihood, and then finally humiliation suffered. Now fast forwarding back to Jesus' day, right, and here's Jesus taking us back, referring back, and he says, you have heard, right? And he quotes eye for eye, tooth for tooth, that pedagogical formula where you refer to something in way back when, an ancient law or an ancient tradition, right? You've heard that it was said, and then a rabbi or scribe would go on and they would reference an authority. But here Jesus, he doesn't reference another authority, right? He is the authority, and he says, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but I tell you, I am the authority, right? I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Now, a couple of things here to kind of dive in, to kind of flesh this out a little bit, noting that first, that's even an evil person, poneros in the Greek, comes from or is related to ponos, which we think of suffering or pain or distress. And so poneros is the one, think of it as being the one who is creating the pain, the one who is doing the harm, the one who is causing the injury. causing an injury to another. And with that, the word resist, antistemi, it has this idea of to bear up under or to withstand. Even more than that, it's this idea of actively opposing. Of actively opposing or to fight back against. In fact, in a number of scholars, they translate antistemi as a use of violence, to use violence against. And Jesus says, yeah, don't do that. Right? Don't resist the evil person, right? Don't retaliate. Don't do violence against. Don't seek revenge. No payback, right? Against the one who is causing you injury, who is doing you harm. Don't do that. In Romans 12 and 17, Paul writes this. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Right? In other words, do not repay harm for harm, injury for injury. Right? Do not repay. Do not reimburse. No revenge, no retaliation, no payback. The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 9, he writes the same language here. He says, do not repay evil. Right? Think suffering, distress, pain. He says, with evil, meaning with suffering, distress, and pain. Insult with insult. And then he says, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Blessing here meaning that it's that idea of having a positive disposition toward. It's this idea of actively doing good to another. Right? And so repay evil, repay the one who is doing you harm, the one who is causing you injury, the one who is creating you pain. And what does he say? He says, have this positive disposition toward. Right? Do good toward that other. The scholar Michael Wilkins, he says, on a personal level, the disciple's first responsibility is to reverse the dynamic of the situation from taking to giving. The evil person has attempted to take, but Jesus' disciples are to give to the offender. He says, by blessing him or her. Which is why Jesus then goes on. He gives these four kind of short vignettes, and T. Wright calls them little sketches, inviting us to quote Williams here, to offer or to give a blessing. Right? Even or especially in the midst of all the ways that we are at odds, even or especially in the midst of the conflict and the dispute and that disagreement and that disunity, right? A blessing to the one who is creating pain, who is doing harm, who is... And so Jesus, he offers this first sketch here. He says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Noting a slap was a serious insult. And the one who was being slapped, this was a way of being told that you're less than, right? And so if I were to give you a slap, it would be saying, in effect, that you're less than me, and it would be an insult to you. Now, what's interesting about the story that Jesus tells, it's a slap on the right cheek, which means that if you don't contort your body in some kind of crazy way, the slap is with the back of the hand. And according to rabbinic law, that is twice the insult. It was also twice the penalty. And so, in effect, here is Jesus, right? And he shares this about being slapped, about being insulted. And what does he tell us to do? He tells us to, in effect, turn the other cheek. Offer the other cheek. Now, it's interesting with turning the cheek, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, that word turn is used over and over again, and it's used in the context of turning a curse into a blessing. Turning a curse into a blessing. In Luke's telling 6 and 28, we read specifically there, again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those, right? Turn the other cheek. Bless those. Turn the other cheek to those who curse you. Jesus then continues another sketch, and if anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Of course, when we heard it, it was a a tunic and a cloak. A tunic is that sort of inner layer of clothing. It's a sack-like garment. Even the poorest of the poor would have more than one. A cloak was kind of a blanket-like outer wrap. It was kind of, you would wear it as a robe during the day and use it as a blanket during the night. And yet Jesus says, what does he say? He says, don't just give your tunic, right? But give your cloak. Give that thing that you have. In a word, in effect, bless. Right? Not just your tunic, but bless the one who is doing you harm. Bless the one who is out to cause you injury. Right? Bless them. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. This is a military scene. And in that day, military personnel could demand that civilians serve them in some capacity. And so in this scenario, this would have been a Roman soldier showing up, probably dropping their back at your feet and saying they want you to, or demanding that you carry this back for them, what would have been the sort of the Roman limit of 1,000 paces, about a mile. But Jesus here, he says, don't go just 1 mile. Don't just do what they've asked, right? In this essence, go 2 miles. In effect, again, bless. Right? Bless the one who is cursing you. Bless the one who wants to do you harm, who is causing you injury, who is creating pain. Right? Bless that one. Verse 42, we read, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. The word ask here has a sense of urgency to it. It's this idea of begging or pleading. The word help, or the word borrow, suggests also someone desperate. In Luke's gospel, the same Greek word, danezo, indicates the giving of money to one who is unable to repay. And so verse 42 could read, bless the one desperate and in need and without any ability to give to you in return. Right? Bless that one. Bless that other who has no ability to give you back anything in return. Now, with all that said, all that in mind, there are a couple of ways we can approach this. One is we can just see it as another external standard, right? Jesus is just giving us a new, but yet still sort of external standard, calling us to live this out in terms of our external behavior. But that's not Jesus. Another possibility is to just dismiss it, to take this as, well, Jesus has, I mean, think about it. Jesus has no clue what we deal with, right? He doesn't know my conflict. He doesn't know my disagreement, right? He doesn't know what I'm going through. And so really, you know, Jesus, this is, you know, and, right, this idea that, I mean, Jesus, you're just not in reality. Then there's possibly another way. We could say a third way. Noting from the scholar R.T. France, he says that here, more than anywhere, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus' aim is not to establish a new and more demanding set of rules. It is to establish a different understanding of how we should live as the people of God. N.T. Wright, he puts it this way. He says, this isn't just about how to behave. It's about discovering the living God and the loving and dying Jesus and learning to reflect that love ourselves into a world that needs it so badly. Right, reflecting this love, we could say again, in the midst of all the ways that we're at odds, in the midst of all of that conflict and dispute, whatever your disagreement, wherever you're experiencing that sort of disunity, right, into all of the stony rubbish and the heap of broken images. Right, no shelter, no relief, no sound of water. Be it a slap on the cheek, right, or a taking of your shirt, be it an inconvenient request or someone with a desperate demand, right? Into all of our differentness and our distinction, our diversity, right, into all of, as we've said, the fullness of the color of life. Right, it's into that space then that we can ask, to borrow the words of N.T. Wright, do we reflect the love of God to the world around us? do I reflect the love of God to those around me, right? And think, right, again, a love that is reflected in the turning of the cheek and the giving of my coat, blessing. We could ask, who needs me to be a reflection of God's love today? Who needs me to be a reflection of God's love, right? And even or especially the one who is against me, the one who wants to do me harm, the one who is causing me pain. What would it look like for me to reflect God's love to that one? What would that look like for me to reflect God's love to that one? And then with that, we can consider these little sketches, what I would call these little blessings. Asking, how and to whom will I offer a blessing today? And who needs me to be a visible demonstration of blessing? How and to whom will I offer a blessing today? Who needs me to be a visible blessing? And again, we can think in the midst of, right, all the hard stuff of life and the difficulties of relationships, right? Who needs me to reflect the love of God, and how and to whom will I offer a blessing? Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you,